This morning's public reading of God's Word comes from 1 Samuel this morning, chapter 7. We're going to begin unfolding chapter 7 here this morning. So far, we have seen the terrible position that the nation of Israel, unfortunately, is in at the current hour. Eli the priest is dead. His two sons are dead. The Ark of the Covenant had been stolen and carted off by the Philistines, and then they needed to get rid of it. It went to Beth Shemesh, and things went fine until the people peeked inside the chest, and God took judgment upon them for doing something that was not allowable, not permissible. And so they needed to do something with the ark as well. And so now we come to chapter 7. I'm going to read in our hearing just the first 14 verses here this morning. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, now notice that, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judge the children of Israel and Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And rightly so, the last time they engaged the Philistines, the ark had been taken, and the bad news ended up killing Eli and his two boys in the battle. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, and he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered, what a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomforted them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, smote them until they came unto Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more unto the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Ammonites. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Now, there's a reason why I stopped the way I did, because as you can see, there's a couple of more verses to chapter 7. So what do we see here? Well, the citizens of Kirjath-Jearim, they come, and they take the Ark of the Covenant from Beth Shemesh, or the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, because they peeked into the chest, and God demonstrated his displeasure. So they don't want the ark. And so these people came, and they brought it to the house of a man named Abinadab in the hill country, and they sanctified, or they set apart Eleazar, his son, to keep the Ark of the Lord. So now it's in good hands. All right, you got this man, and he sanctifies his son to be a priest. Now, it doesn't say whether or not he's a Levite. I find that amazing that that's not even mentioned, or even at least made part of the narrative. So we don't know dogmatically whether this was a Levitical family, a priestly family, or whether it was just simply one of the local townspeople who now inherits the Ark. But then we're told this little bit of history. And it came to pass, while the Ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. So now, if I take this to mean what it says, then 20 years has elapsed since the defeat earlier in our reading of the Israelites, the snatching away of the Ark, the death of Hophni and Phinehas, the death of Eli, and then the returning of the Ark, okay, on that cart with the hemorrhoids and the golden mice, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, temporarily as custodians of the Ark, they get in trouble. So now the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim take up the Ark, and now for 20 years, it's going to apparently be in the custodial custody of this father and son. And during those 20 years, Israel lamented for God's deliverance. And so 20 years had gone by, and Israel is not seeing the divine intervention of God on their behalf. How would you feel? Like even now, we've been living under 4 years of tyranny with Mr. Biden. And I know that there are God's people crying unto him day by day for divine deliverance. Lord, help us. How long can this go? Well, in this instance, the Philistines made their life miserable for at least 2 decades. Well, Samuel comes into the picture. Verse 3. He speaks unto all the house of Israel, and then he basically tells them why there hasn't been any deliverance. It's not because God wanted to be mean and he enjoys seeing people suffer. If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. See, beloved, a lot of people want God to answer prayer and to perform miracles, but are they willing, on the flip side of that coin, to be obedient to him? The Israelites wanted to get the yoke of the Philistines off their necks. Yes, amen. I would say amen to that. But there seems to be a price to pay. We can't hold on to our idols. We cannot live in our sins and eat it like drink and food and then expect God to bless. Don't work that way in his kingdom. Notice, with all your hearts. Then put away the strange gods and the Ashtaroths from among you. Notice the problem during those 20 years. They didn't practice biblical separation. They wanted to hold on to their figurines of Ashtaroth and Baal, and at the same time, worship Jehovah. There's no mixing here between light and dark, truth and error. Justice and injustice. There is no assimilation. There is no blending, beloved. And prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him, notice, only. Not 50-50, not 90-10, not 99% versus 1%. I'm going to hold out on the 1%. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So apparently they were replicating the same mistake for 20 long years and they're wondering why God is not delivering them. It's like planting crops the wrong way and still expecting a harvest at the end of the season. Then the Philistines did put away, notice, Balaam and Ashtaroth. So verse 24, the message finally clicks. And so Samuel gathers all the people like one huge national retreat to Mizpeh, where he performs sacrifice, pours out water before the Lord as a drink offering. And while this retreat is going on, the Philistines seem to say, hey, let's take an advantage. You got all the nation gathered in one location. All we got to do is surround these people, and it's going to be like shooting fish inside of a barrel. Like simply shooting ducks in a pond. And God's people get upset and afraid, verse 27, and I would too. Then look at verse 8. Verse 8 is a good definition of what an intercessor is. When you do intercessory prayer for someone, maybe due to a sickness, or maybe going on the foreign field, or praying for a missionary, praying for a lost loved one, and you intercede. The children of Israel said unto Samuel, cease not to pray unto the Lord for us. That is a beautiful phrase that simply defines what an intercessor is. It's somebody standing in the gap for you before God, pleading your case, pleading your cause, interceding, supplicating God on your behalf. And then in verses 9, Samuel performs a sacrifice. Verse 9, he cries unto the Lord, and the Lord heard Samuel. Samuel's intercession reaches the ears of the Almighty. And then in verses 10 all the way down, we find this great victory. And then some of the cities, now if you look at those cities in verses 14 and you look at your map atlas in the back of your Bible, you're talking about land that was once owned by the Philistines. You're talking about the extreme southwest coastline, that part of the coastline that eventually touches Egypt, the northern part of the Sinai Peninsula. You're talking about that southwestern part of the coast. All that Israel at this time gains. And there was peace in the land. So, beloved, right now America is not at peace. Now, we're not fighting and waging a war like a World War I or a World War II event. But America is at war spiritually with itself. We have clashing worldviews, clashing ideologies, and versus God's people putting away their idols, calling upon the Lord and beseeching Him for divine intervention, we're hiding and we're fearful. Yes, the enemy is bigger than us. Yes, the enemy is more powerful than us. Yes, the enemy has all the news media in its back pocket. I understand that. Our enemies have Big Pharma, World Council of Churches, World Health Organization, all these big shots, all these big players in their back pocket. But our God is bigger than all these agencies and these institutions. God is under no obligation, beloved, to come to our defense as long as we hold on to our idols and delve into our sins and into our own carnal pleasures. Versus saying now, God bless America. You ought to be saying, God be merciful to America. There is no blessing to be expected when we as a nation defy heaven. Well, may God choose to bless His word. Amen.